Memories, incoherent and disconnected, flirt through my brain, weaving an incoherent and disconnected network. A vague outline, a vague understanding of who I am and of what has happened in the past. To the surface of this boiling pot rises that of a sermon conducted by somebody dressed in ragged black robes. Somebody whose face is familiar, yet somehow disconnected from this reality, from this body I now inhabit. This face, so familiar, addresses a small, haggard crowd of similarly dressed, black-robed individuals. Tattered and dirty, yet staring with rapt attention. Unblinking eyes focused on this face. This face, so familiar, yet so different than the one I currently possess. Another bubble on the surface of my memory pops, and I remember the sermon. Wait, was I the one delivering the sermon? Am I the strange face, so alien yet recognizable? I can't remember. My memory, overboiling like a pot above a too hot fire. Snippets of this heretical sermon come back to me, of the basilisks of the one true faith. The small group of ragged individuals and their collective gasp as the heretical sermon reaches a fever pitch, reaches a denunciation of the one true faith expunged by the basilisks so many years ago, and their systematic destruction of the cycle of rebirth, of souls being ushered into new bodies, and her systematic destruction of the old gods. The tenders of this ever-important cycle. As this memory runs its course, I remember screaming of begging for mercy, dark stains on black robes, as the so-called paladins of the Cretan Order systematically snuffed out the life of all those who oppose the one true faith of the two-headed basilisks. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome back to One Guy, One Role, where I, your host, player, and GM, Herocitides, play solo role-playing games for your listening pleasure. I'm once again happy to be diving back into the lovely rules-light game of Merkborg, where using the supplement of Solitary Defilement, this already fantastic game gets an overhaul to be solo role-playing friendly. If you ever wanted something that's kind of loose in rules and has fantastic tables because you're just not super creative or you really enjoy having unpredictability in your games, Solitary Defilement is full of tables to help flesh out the ever grimdark, death metal, souls-like world of Merkborg. As the intro might have hinted at, our heretical priest, Quilnock, is slowly starting to recover whatever memories he might have possessed, or perhaps he didn't, upon awakening in this strange, seemingly abandoned crypt, or whatever this building might have been used for in the past. Last episode ended up being a little bit shorter, of course, because had to do some of the session zero stuff with character building and just getting used to the way the rules flow in Merkborg, especially with the Solitary Defilement supplement, which kind of is an interesting combination of Ironsworn with the Merkborg core rules in general. Truly, I am very thankful to be able to record a new episode so soon and hopefully be able to continue some sort of decent pace of releasing new episodes into the future. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to the One Guy, One Role podcast. And without further ado, let's get into it. The oppressive, rank, and heavy humid air of the flooded room gives way to a hot, dry wind blowing in through a destroyed door. Stepping through the empty door frame, I'm greeted by a strange sight. A collection of haphazardly arranged wooden benches and what can only be described as a large stone altar on a raised dais at the front of the room. The horrifically muggy air becomes bone dry upon stepping into this room. The heat is nearly unbearable, despite the inky blackness of the sky above, which can be barely glimpsed through a collapsed section of the roof above. Through the gloomy darkness of this room, I'm able to spot, on the far wall, a pile. A pile of seemingly half-burnt benches. Still shaky from my recent reawakening, I make my way over to this strange pile of half-burnt benches. Just close enough to be able to make out the unmistakable image of cracked and charred bones littering this pile of half-burnt benches, sticking out at sickening angles like some mockery of life itself. The dry, hot air blowing in through the hole in the ceiling carries with it a strange, not even a scent, but a sense of death and decay. Wherever I am, this place is wrong. This place has seen much by the way of death, and very little lives here anymore. My throat feels as though I have swallowed 1,000 daggers. The hot, dry, piercing wind does nothing more than compound my agony. Yet still, I must push forward and try to learn more of myself. While unlikely, perhaps something was able to escape the destructive fire that consumed whoever these people once were. We will search for an object, DR20 plus omen, of which we roll 2d20s in order to determine our outcome. With our 3 omens, we end up with a weak hit and discover a useful item. I could almost sense a familiarity with this place. I could almost sense that I was forgetting something, that something inside of my memory was locked, forgotten, lost to the mists of time. Seemingly without thinking, I took a step onto the dais where resided a large, cracked altar. Once inscribed with strange, twisting glyphs, now desecrated, scraped clean, cloven in two by some mighty blow from some distant past. My hands, seemingly on their own accord, work loose one of the stones on this altar, as if through practiced memory, and sitting within a recessed alcove, completely untouched by whatever chaos, whatever atrocities were committed here, a scroll inscribed with a twisting script, seemingly both familiar yet utterly alien. I had a feeling, given time, I would understand the contents of this scroll. However, I had more pressing concerns. Dry hacking racked my chest, as though something wanted to escape from my lungs, but was unable to climb up the dry, dusty slopes of my throat. Barely a wheeze could escape between my creviced lips. Yet still, a wet gurgling sound, the first noise I was able to make. I must venture from this place. I must discover who I am. I must discover what I am doing here. This long-forgotten, abandoned and desecrated nave could not serve as my home. There was nothing here anymore. There was nothing for me here. Perhaps once that aching feeling of a memory forgotten. Perhaps once this was some place to me. Now it belongs to nothing more than the bones of both the restless and sleeping dead. There is clearly only one exit from this strange and desecrated temple. 2 massive stone doors closed and blocking the exit from here. I give one a half-hearted shove and it does not move. Perhaps I can use something to leverage it open. I grab part of one of the long, disused and discarded benches and attempt to pry open the door using my strength. And the door barely budges. However, it does move slightly, and instead of giving up hope, I keep trying again and again until my strength leaves me, and I collapse, exhausted, entering into the blissful embrace of spiraling darkness and disjointed, uncomprehensible dreams. I awaken, collapse to the ground in the same place where I had wearily worked before. The oppressive heat of last night has been replaced by a scorching dawn. Its delicate pink fingers unable to pierce through the oppressive death shroud gray of the skies outside, merely giving an illusion of change from the murkiness of this abandoned and forgotten crypt. I take a meager bite of my admittedly scant rations and a blissful momentary splash of water on my canyon-riven lips, its life-giving essence burning and torturing my scarred throat, immediately leading to more hacking, more coughing. However, I feel altogether stronger, more put together. However, something, a vague memory perhaps, a whispered prophecy, or perhaps a lie, vaguely remembered, yet dancing on the edge of my brain. Something echoes inside of me, something counting down to some horrific, unspeakable end. But not today. Nothing changes, and I return to the task at hand, strength slightly renewed, and manage to leverage open the heavy stone door in front of me, just wide enough to allow my frail, malnourished form to slither out into the oppressive, dry, ash-filled air of this gray and unremarkable place, seemingly matched by the gray, ashen skies above. Even the bleakness of this place can do little to disguise the awe-inspiring, dagger-sharp spires towering far, far above the ashen-colored canyons below, sharply carving their way beneath the towering mountains, seemingly impassable, impossible to cross by any who dared to try. Despite the oppressive heat and dryness of this place, the towering, fang-like mountains, dusted in an ashen gray snow, with small rivulets of water, as gray as the clouds above, trickles down these towering slopes, vanishing before making its way to the parched, ashen soils below. This crypt, this church, this place I have awoken, tucked deep within an overhang of stone, nearly invisible from the twisting, long-forgotten path below, seems solitary and alone in this dead and forgotten landscape. Yet still, deep within me, not only is there a feeling of forgotten familiarity with this place, but an even fainter sense of hopefulness, a sense of around the next twist of this cavern, perhaps my purpose can be discovered, my reasoning for being here. And I prepare to set off, kicking up ashen gray clouds of dust, using my shepherd's crook as an aid for my shaky, uncertain steps as I traverse through this inhospitable landscape. We will now begin to use the traveling rules out of solitary defilement. There's a nice little flowchart within the supplement that helps you decide what tables or rules you should use when traveling on a world map level scale. First off, we have to decide how many days is this trek going to take? 7. From there, we decide the weather, which is gray, overcast, and hot, travel or resupply. We currently have 3 days of supplies, so we will travel. Roll the road from Ferritory. The road itself is an almost forgotten dirt track. However, due to the nature of the narrow canyons that we are following, I still think it's difficult to get lost. Coming out from under the overhang, protecting or perhaps obfuscating the existence of the strange church or crypt perhaps. The road, dusty as always, winds its way down to the scorching canyon floor below. Along the way, countless other tracks merge together, long forgotten, nothing more than a suggestion, a furrow through the ash that covers this place. The day comes to a close. The ashy gray skies merely morph into the darker gray of night, and finally, utter and complete inky blackness. Still, the mountains look the same. The ever-present swirling dust invades my nostrils and clogs my lungs, my dry, scorched throat, and an echoing cough deep from within. Yet no phlegm escapes my lips with its mercy of wetness. Nothing, not even the faint suggestion of trickling water coming down from the ashen, snow-covered peaks above, makes its way to the parched soils below. There is nothing here. It is silent, besides for the occasional moan of some long-forgotten solace, or perhaps just the wind whistling through dagger-like teeth, or coming out of the various tunnels and crypts that pockmark the surrounding slopes. As I settle into my camp, little more than me, making a furrow in the dusty ash to wedge myself into. For I have no fuel for fire, no fire for warm food, and little liquid refreshment to dampen the utter dryness of my parched throat. With the fading gray light, I take out the scroll I discovered within the nave, and the twisting script decorating this scroll begins to morph into something I understand. Something I knew before, perhaps, or maybe memories returning, or more likely, just a manifestation of my madness, transforming the indecipherable into prophecy. The scroll details a story of some elder entity referred to as the Despairing, who gave up one of their eyes in a sacrifice to gain wisdom. However, unbeknownst to this elder being of power, it was false wisdom, and its eye, once all-seeing yet not knowing, was wasted. This eye that could foresee things yet not know them was given to some new upstart entity, simply described as he. These false wisdoms and prophecies that now plagued this elder entity, this being known as the Despairing, interacted with its followers, its worshippers, less and less, seemingly disappearing from their day-to-day lives, seemingly lapsing in its duties and falling into an eternal slumber from which the author of this scroll describes as unrelenting despair. This scroll, an unclean scroll gifted from an elder god, has the power to inflict this despair upon another creature, causing it to lapse into a seeming slumber from which there's no awakening. There is only despair. These strange powers gifted by scrolls from both elder beings of power and, of course, from new ones as well, litter the landscape. And I recall, like some distant, dusty book in a library of memory, that I once wielded these powers, these divine inspirations. And I know a limited number of them can be utilized each day, seemingly at the will or the whim of fate. Under the starless, inky darkness of the oppressively hot night, I managed to drift to sleep, fitful and restless, plagued by dreams or memories that felt disconnected from my own. Luckily, nothing disturbed me during my slumber, and with a silence of death, the next day dawned, yet still somewhere within me, I could feel a sense of oppression, a sense of a clock ticking forward, ever towards inevitable doom and destruction. Yet nothing changed, and yet another day of shuffling through the dusty ash of this place continued. My meager rations ever dwindling further. As the afternoon ticks on and the oppressive dry heat of this place intensifies, the landscape begins to change. Narrow, dagger-like canyons winding and twisting their way up to forlorn, isolated, pot-marked crypts widens, becoming a valley of sorts, not a canyon so much as a chasm, still ringed by the sharp, dagger-like spires of mountains. The valley is now wide enough to support a less twisting road running straight down the middle of this massive chasm. Despite the gray gloom of this place, a lonely, desolate, crumbling fortification rests upon a lonely outcropping of rock just a couple hundred meters off the road. Perhaps once something more impressive, now all that remains amongst the crumbling ruins is a single tower rising above the rubble. Perhaps once some magnificent keep, or perhaps never more than a lonely watchtower at the edge of the world. No signs of life of any kind can be detected from the outside of this place. Merely the flapping of a long, decayed, and tattered banner lazily wafting on the hot air ever shows this place was once perhaps occupied. I decide, perhaps against my better judgment, to make my way up the boulder-covered slopes to this lone tower. This first scant bit of life I have seen since emerging from the crypt. Successfully making my way under the precariously balanced stone blocks that once made up some sort of wall, I am greeted with a scene belonging to a long-forgotten battle. Bony hands gripping rusty swords, tattered armor penetrated by spears, skulls crushed, and a leering skull impaled on some long-lost banner. This isn't even a graveyard. These men fought and died, not buried, not honored, nothing, simply forgotten about, swept up in the tide of some battle or some chaos, long forgotten and no longer important. There is nothing here of value. However, the lone tower still stands ahead of me, seemingly upright and sturdy amongst the precarious rubble that litters the rest of this hilltop. A crumbling stone staircase leads up to a rotten wooden floor above, and I decide not to investigate the upper floors because in front of me, seated on some what might have once been a magnificent stone throne, now worn to time, wind, and dust, sits a skeleton unlike the others, headless, yet clutching something in its hands. A magnificent golden chalice, sparkling, reflecting even the meager dim light of this dying world. This golden chalice, so out of place in this bleak landscape, inexplicably draws me forward, and I reach out a hand towards it, and I hear something click beneath my foot as I step forward, and I let out an audible groan. Of course it couldn't be easy. How could it not be some kind of trap, some sort of challenge laid out before me? I brace and wince, expecting the floor to fall away, a dart to hit me in the side of the neck, or perhaps a stone to fall down, crushing my skull. However, after a long few seconds, I open my eyes. The headless skeleton sitting in front of me, my own faint reflection glittering in this golden chalice within its hands. Yet nothing has happened. I look down at my foot, where the stone has sunken into the ground slightly. If I lift my foot, what will happen, I wonder. Taking my shepherd's crook, I push down on the stone and remove my foot. Nothing. I look around for a larger nearby stone, which is located just barely outside of my reach. Using my shepherd's crook, I attempt to move it closer towards me, using my agility. Stretching further and further out with my arm, I barely able to hook the stone, dragging it towards me, putting it delicately on top of the stone which compressed beneath my foot. However, it is not enough weight, and with a mad dash out of the tower, the floor falls away below, taking the skeleton, the chalice, and the rest of the tower down with it, collapsing inward in a mighty roar, echoing throughout this muted landscape, alerting anything else within miles of my presence here. Still, dusting myself off and picking myself up from this desolate landscape where once stood a defiant tower, now stands nothing more than additional rubble. Yet another tribute to the hubris and utter greed of mankind. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the One Guy, One Role podcast. Once again, Merkborg is great. Solitary Defilement is amazing. And I hope y'all enjoyed listening to this episode. I kind of am trying to strike a blend between explaining some of the rules as I go and then just rolling with the rolls, I guess, for the rest of it. If you guys prefer one style or the other, please do let me know, either on the Reddit post or over on Discord. Either one of those is still the best way of getting a hold of me. If you have any suggestions or opinions for the show, I'm always more than willing to listen to what y'all have to say. So just as a matter of some bookkeeping stuff, we are currently on what Solitary Defilement calls adventures, an attempt to escape from this dusty, ashen-filled wasteland we find ourselves in. By the way, if you can figure out which part of the Merkborg world we are in, props to you. I don't think I've quite dropped the name of the region we are in, but I suspect that may be changing relatively soon. However, the way that I'm going to utilize the adventures, or milestones, if you want to call them, is going to be slightly different probably than how Solitary Defilement lists them out. I think after completing an adventure, it'll be a chance to get better, the way of improving yourself in Merkborg. Obviously, we haven't completed an adventure yet, so haven't quite gotten a chance to feel out how that's going to work. Just as a reminder, in case I didn't make it clear, the way that roles work in this game is, well, with Solitary Defilement, is generally you roll 2d20s, and if you succeed on the DR with both strong hit, good things happen. One of the dice, weak hit, it's a mixed kind of success but situation. No successes is a fail. Failure is bad, and things really go to shit when something like that happens. Been kind of playing fast and loose with the travel rules. I think it's going to be a little boring to have episode after episode just rolling to see what happens, and it's just generally not very exciting. So I've not only shortened some of the distances in which traveling occurs, but time compression will be a thing, and yeah, we'll just kind of figure out how that's going to work as we go. Anyways, I didn't have any expectations of where this episode was going to leave us to end up, and I'm quite pleased with the results of Feratory and the generalized travel rules of the game so far. Anyways, I could ramble on for a long time about the merits of Merkborg and my ideas of solo roleplaying within it, but in the interest of wrapping up this episode, I do have a Patreon if you're interested at all in helping to support the podcast and make all of this possible, especially the cost of hosting, which is naturally an ongoing monthly expense. And it is my stated interest in keeping this podcast completely ad-free. So if you wish to join the One Guy, One Role solo role-playing guild, I do have a Patreon over on patreon.com/oneguyonerole. If at all interested, please do go check it out. And you can join with all the lovely supporters, including Master JL, Journeyman James, Journeyman Nick, Journeyman Wes, and of course, Apprentice Jesse. Thank you so much, you guys. You quite literally make this podcast possible. And a huge thank you to everyone who just takes the time to listen to the podcast. It means so much to me that people are willing to take the time to listen to me ramble on about solo role-playing games. Anyways, as always, I've been your host, player, and GM Hero Cities, signing off. Have a great day and stay safe out there, y'all.